This is just my third time, but it still feels very fresh and very new to me, and it's exciting. If you've never done public speaking, it's like nothing. It's a rush. It really is. And when you're doing it for the right reasons, it's even better. All right? It's not lost on me, the power that's behind this pulpit, the anointing that's on this church. And it's just an amazing opportunity and an amazing privilege to get to do this. So, if everyone, let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, right now, Lord, let's open hearts, Lord, let's open minds. Right now, Lord, let's use me, Lord, as a mouthpiece for you. Lord, when people see this, Lord, I want them to see you through me. And Lord, I want you to get the message that you went across. So Lord, right now, do something amazing this afternoon. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. All right. I mentioned when you're coming to an event, it can be a basketball game, a concert, even watching something fun on TV. What's the most amazing part? It's the beginning of it. All right? You've waited all day to turn the TV on. You've driven hours to get to an event. And now you're finally there. You're in your seat. You've got your popcorn. You've got your drinks. And you're ready. You're waiting for it to start. All right? There's nothing like it. The anticipation, people talking, people watching the stage, watching the screen, or if you're at the house just watching the TV, ready for that intro to roll. There's nothing like it. All right? For instance, you're going to a UFC event or a WWF event or a WWE. You're ready. All right? Everyone's, the lights are on, the sound's on, the music's going, and all of a sudden you hear, it's time. If it's UFC, it's Bruce Buffer. It used to be Bruce Buffer. And when you hear that voice, you know it's on. All right? There's nothing, that excitement. The crowd goes wild. They get up on their feet. All right? If you're a NASCAR fan, gentlemen, start your engines. Immediately you're turned on. You're on that track. You're watching who's speaking. You're ready. The electricity's going. All right? Something a little bit more local. You're watching the TV or you're in Lexington and you hear, and now, the starting lineup for your Kentucky Wildcats. A lot of people, they go crazy. They're on their feet. They're screaming. At that moment, they're hoarse. All right? The rest of the game, they're just croaking. All right? Because that anticipation was built and all that energy was released, and now they're ready. They were waiting. They were excited for that event to start. All right? Now, what if I told you that inside this book right here was the original hype man? All right? And I'm not talking about who you think I'm talking about. All right? This is New Testament. All right? That's a hint. But it's still not the hint you're looking for. So let's go to Romans chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. Now let's stop right there. He's setting a precedence right there. He's hyping Rome up. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. All right, he's building it. This is a letter he's writing, so you have to think old school. So someone's reading this to the congregation. So if they read it in the way that he intended it, this is how he'd go. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. All right, this is a presentation. That your faith is spoken of throughout the world. You know how we do our little thing? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I can see, when this is being read for the first time, I can see it being animated. You're spoken of throughout the world. All right? He's hyping Rome up, the church at Rome. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. The church of Rome was that important. He wanted to show that. I make mention of you always without ceasing. So he was building them up. All right? He was getting anticipation. He was getting electricity in that church. Because he knew that if he wanted to grab their attention, he kind of had to get the Spirit moving. All right? And that's what Paul did so well. All right? He wrote so many... He was the author of so much of the New Testament. And a lot of that's because he knew how, through God, to speak to the church. And not just the church back then, but the church now. That can work today.
Yeah.
Making requests by any means now, that length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. That's anticipation. Prosperous journey. I want to come to you. I want to be with you. You're so amazing. I want to be with you. That's going to hype a church up. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end yet may be established. He wants to give them. He loves them. So he wants to give them something. Not only does he want to be with them, he wants to give them something. All right? That's an amazing hype man. That is an amazing feeling, knowing that you're not only does he want to be with me, he wants to give me something. He loves me so much. He calls them saints. Now, back then, that's a big weight even today. Saints of God. That's a big weight. That's a big title. Now, why is this important? He's showing the church at Rome that he's thinking about them always. He's talking about them with others. Even when he's not in Rome, even when he's not there, he's talking about them. He's constantly in his prayers. They're always in his mind. All right, now we could learn from this. All right, now let's go to 1 Corinthians, just one book over. 1 Corinthians, first chapter. And again, let's start with verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed within you, so that ye come behind in no gift. You come behind in no gifts. That's building up. All right? The church of Corinth wasn't lacking anything. Now, I did mention the first time I got up here that the church was doing well. They also had some problems, that he was trying to hype them up. He was trying to build them up, get them to feeling important as God saw them. And that's how he done this. He wanted the church to know he's always thinking about them. He's always with them. Even when he's not there, he is. But now Paul couldn't brag as much as he did if he didn't know about the churches. If you don't have that relationship with it, you can't brag on someone you don't know. I mean, you can give them some general, off-the-shoulder, you know, hey, great job. Congrats, keep it up, champ. You know, slay. Keep it generic, keep it shallow. That'll work in the short. If you really want to build someone up and edify them, though, you have to get to know them. All right? Paul knew these churches. Paul had a relationship. He was constantly talking with them or about them, building them up and learning from them. You know, what they're doing. What's going on in their day-to-day? You know, how's the church operating? Now, in the second book, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Just again, one book over. Now let's start in verse 5. Now this is a little bit later. He's still trying to build them up, but he's getting real with them. All right, this is an intimate relationship. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings. So he's part of it. There's some shortcomings. And he's part of that. He wants to help through it. He's not going to just from afar. He's not going to preach at you from afar. He's going to get down with you. He's going to get intimate. He's got a relationship with you. He's not going to just say, this is what you need to do. He's going to say, this is what we need to do. This is how we get right. He can't do that if he doesn't know the church. If he doesn't know who he's talking to, he can't get down there with them. All right? So, you can keep it shallow if you want to, but that's not what Paul's showing here. Paul's showing that he knows these people. He knows these churches. He knows where they're struggling. And the reason he knows that is he's either talking with them, about them, or he's hearing from them from other people because he's asking questions. Paul was not a shallow person. He wanted an intimate relationship not only with God, with Jesus, but with his fellow brothers and sisters. And that's what he's showing. When he writes these letters, it's not to whom it may concern. It's brothers and sisters, church. I'm with you. I'm here. I know what you're going through because I care. And you can't do that if you don't have a relationship. All right. Again, just a little bit over. Philippians, first chapter. All right. This is more uplifting. In chapter 1, verse 2 of Philippians, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every time I remember you, I thank God. Always in every prayer of mine, for you are making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now that's uplifting. The church of Philippi was doing great, and Paul wanted them to know that. He was uplifting them. He was saying, listen, you're always in my prayers. Again, joy, confidence. This is loving. To me, this is loving poetry. All right. If this was in a book, like this, if this was a romance novel, that's intimacy. All right. You can't beat that. And this is real. All right. You don't have to search on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or X. If you want to learn how to be intimate, it's right here. All right. There's no class that you need to take. You just need to get in the Scripture and learn how God wants us to treat each other. Now, like I said, you can't do this if you don't know who you're talking to. You can't be there for your friends and family or church members if you don't know who you're talking to. A stranger can invoke these emotions in you. You can't really care about a stranger. You can have empathy for them. You can feel sorry for them, for what they're going through. But you can't really get down in the dirt with a stranger and pray, because you don't really know who they are. You can't fake love like this. If you're really wanting to get with someone and pray for them, you can't fake. I mean, you have to have that relationship. For instance, I send Chris and Jeremy memes throughout the day. All right, Facebook. I send them funny things I find. All right, I chuckle at it. I'm like, they'll appreciate this. I send it. They probably don't appreciate it. They might go, and then scroll. That's not a relationship. That's superficial to a little bit of it. I mean, I'm thinking about them. They'd find this funny. But how much more would it be if I called them up after work or I called them up after church, man, hey, this was good, wasn't it? And I spent maybe 5 minutes talking to them. That's building a relationship. That's more than just the superficial. That's more than just the surface of it, right? As you're doing this, you're going to realize that I can pray for Chris. I can pray for Jeremy or James. How much more could Lisa or Cammy or Tina pray for? Because they know them. They know exactly what they're going through. I send them memes. I see them twice a week at church. That's it. Lord, I pray for what they're going through. That's as deep as I can get. I don't know the specifics of them like someone who's with them day in and day out do. I don't know, like Because they're soldiers. I mean, their spouses are with them more than I am. I might see them on and off chance maybe at Walmart and talk to them for 5 minutes. But still, I'm not getting down and dirty with that. You know what I mean? I can't. Because I don't have that relationship where they do. Now this kind of hits at the part I'm getting at. Let's go a couple books more in Hebrews chapter 10. Nope, that's not it. Ah, that's the wrong one. Forsake not the assembly of ourselves. If we don't come to church, if we don't build these relationships, we can't have this intimacy that we need. As church members, we need to come together and pray for each other. We need to go what each other's going through. More than just the handshake before we give an offering. More than just 5 or 10 minutes before service where we just make small talk. If we need something, we need to share it. Now, it doesn't have to be specifics. It doesn't have to be something scandalous or, you know, give, you know, great detail. But listen, guys, I'm struggling with this or that. I just want you to pray for me. Then that person has something to grab onto. It doesn't have to be anything. I mean, when you come up here for prayer, pastor and pastorette will pray for you. They don't broadcast around the entire, you know, he turns his mic off. It's private. All right? But still, sometimes he'll say, turn my mic on. This is important. And what he'll do is he'll let the congregation know a little bit of what you're going through. If you're not here or if you're not watching on Facebook, you know, sometimes Facebook doesn't show that. Sometimes the cameras are cut off and we don't get to hear, and they don't get to hear that, but people here do. If you miss that, you're missing a great opportunity to help a brother or sister. And for me, if I was needing something, I would want that close relationship. I would want that intimacy with my church family members saying, listen, guys, I need help. I'm struggling with this. My child might be sick. I might be going through something with other friends or something through work. You know, just because you don't think that they'll care, people do. You might just see them at church. That might just be your church friend. But if you're going through something at work that might affect you, if they know about it, they're more likely to pray for you. You know? If they know that you're struggling or an enemy's attacking you, well, now, that's not happening. I mean, that's my friend. They'll be saying, Lord, in Jesus' name, I rebuke that. If they don't, and they just see that you're kind of quiet, if you're standoffish, if you miss church 3 or 4 times in a month, well, I wonder where so-and-so's at. I wonder if they're all right. Now, elders and deacons, they do make phone calls. If you're not there to answer, though, we can't help. You have to be part of the conversation. You have to sometimes initiate it. It's hard. It requires sacrifice. It requires coming here. It requires draining your social battery. Some of us like to be hermits. Some of us like to stay at the house, me included, especially on Wednesday nights. I like to sit on my couch. All right? I'll be the first one to say it. I like to, you know, mow the grass. Wednesdays are always beautiful. It's always great weed-eating weather. So, so I get it. It's hard. It is a sacrifice. But when you come here and you strengthen these relationships, it helps you in so many different ways. It really does. It opens an opportunity for not only God to work, but your brothers and sisters to work with you. The corporate anointing is amazing. It can overcome things that you don't think it could, but only if you let it. If you don't let the corporate anointing flow, if you stifle it just by your lack of presence, you're just saying, look, I'll do this on my own. And that's not worked so far. It's not. You need to get people on your side. And the only way to do that is with fellowship and coming together and being present. Because if I don't talk to my wife for a month, she has no idea what I'm going through. Not only is that, exactly, I'm in trouble. Not only is that a horrible relationship, but I can't rely on her, and she can't rely on me because we don't know what we're doing. So how can we miss a solid month of church and expect God to know? Well, I've not prayed to Him. I've not prayed over my food, let alone pray before I go to bed. So how is God going to know? I mean, I know He knows our hearts, but if we don't ask Him, if we don't have that relationship, how can we expect Him to help us? So, when we come together, it can't be just for the social aspect of it. It has to be with a purpose. If not to receive something, to give something. If you have everything that you want in line, that's great. Look to give something to someone else. Look for that overflowing. We say good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But do we look to give that overflowing away, or do we build up new barns? So from here on, when you come in here, don't take it lightly. Come expecting, and if not expecting to receive, expecting to give and build. Amen? All right, stand with me. All right.